Good to have everyone here this morning. How many thankful for Jesus being good to you? Amen. He's been so good to us. We're again going to be in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be continuing in. We've been discussing the words of Jesus. And everybody by now has seen how what a task this is to cover all the things that Jesus said. We've been covering them in chronological order, the best we can tell. We understand the scripture. And now we're on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching, and he has a mixed crowd of people. There are believers, non-believers. They're both the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the different sects are there. And he's delivering a message. How many believe the words of Jesus is important? I believe what's happened over the years is we've drifted from the words of Jesus. And it's become our own words. And that's what gets us in so much trouble. Because we talk about what we think. How many of you know because a man can think don't make it right? We all have an ability to think. We can think. We can think whatever we want. But that doesn't make it right. So what we have to do, we have to refer back to the words of Jesus. What did Jesus say on these different subjects, topics? And so we begin talking about that several Sundays ago, and at first look at it, I thought maybe we could squeeze this in before the year ends. It looks like we'll be doing this all of 2016. It doesn't seem like we're going to be able to cover it within a year, because that's how important the words of Jesus are. Now, if it takes that long, you can see how one can drift or just listen to what everybody else says rather than going back for yourself. So I want to encourage all of you. Everything I say today, I want you to check it out. Go back and check it out. Look at it. Look at the scripture reference I give you. And don't just take my word for it. Look at the words for yourself. That way, if my words are said in any way that's a disapproval by God's standards, it won't hold you up. You can move on and grow in God. But my prayer is today that I could be sensitive to the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit of God to speak the words that he once said, and that's important. How many of you know that the power of God, the Spirit of God, that power, the divine utterance is given by God or by Jesus for you and I to have understanding? This is important. Today's subject is going to be talking about admonitions of personal relationship. I mean, no personal relationship. Jesus knew that was going to be important. And there's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to say this up front. That way we can have a disclaimer for you. That you'll know. Or maybe we'll, so you'll understand. I don't know everything that happens in everybody's life throughout the week. I saw you last week. But how many know God knows every second of your life? He knows the thoughts you were thinking before you figured out the thought you was going to think. He knows it. He says, I know before you ask. He said he knows. So no doubt while I was putting this together, I was putting a compiled verses of this fifth chapter, and I was going to make a real good push today. I mean, I was going to push right on through all the way to verse 40, somewhere in there. Then I said, well, I could go to 48. I'm pretty sure I can. But that'll never happen. Because while I was doing that, I was arrested, as it were, in my spirit to deal with a subject that Jesus says in his very next statement. When we come, now, how many was here last week? We talked about salt and light. You're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Isn't that powerful? And I hope that was a blessing to you as we dealt with that. But he moves on and he says something I think is important. And I want to talk about that today. But I'm going to tell you, let me get back to my just letting you know that what I'm going to talk about today, I guarantee you, it's going to be several people in here that it's going to directly give you an avenue to come clean and be free from this day forward. The Lord dealt with me. This is going to be a liberating, setting free opportunity. And I could come put my hand on your shoulder. I could put my hand right on your shoulder. The Lord showed me that as clear as could be when we was worshiping. But I don't. You don't need me to put my hand on your shoulder. I'm going to pray the Holy Ghost will put his hand on your shoulder and you'll be liberated and freed from what we're about to deal with. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knew relationship was going to be important. And he knew the enemy would try to cause any type of relationship that he could that was contrary to God's design. How many know God has a design for relationship? How many know the world wants to turn God's design around? That's what he does. Now, he'll use, to upset relationship, he'll use something that everybody in this room has dealt with at least once in your life. For sure. I'm sure of it. I've dealt with it way more than once. But I may be a lot weaker than you are. So maybe you only dealt with it once. But you'll have to figure that out once I start speaking on it. How many times you dealt with this? And why do we have to keep dealing with it? Why does it reoccur? Have we uprooted or taken the root out of the cause that makes us do these things? And let's look at it together. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5, we'll get started. And we're going to deal with this together, and we're going to ask the Lord to open up our understanding that we won't reject the word, because if you reject the word, that can cause some serious trouble for you. We don't want that. And we stopped at verse 20, and we're on 21 now, and we'll look at this together. Now, this is Jesus speaking. This is his words. He's done the Sermon on the Mountain. The crowd is gathered. He's there, and he's preaching. How many know Jesus was a preacher? He didn't just come to die. There's a lot of bad theology that has drifted around in our society. And people talk about, well, he just, like around this time, folks talking about he was born to die. Well, he was born for way more than that. How many know Jesus came into existence for way more than that? Not just to die. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. He explained how you and I can inherit the kingdom. He talked about the kingdom of God. What will be the future that you and I are all going to be invited to? How many want to join in the marriage supper of the Lamb? Isn't that incredible? How many has ever been invited to go to a wedding? How many has ever been invited to go to a gathering, a family gathering, and you prepared for it? It made you so excited that you got an invitation, or you was excited that you got invited. And maybe you're here today and you got invited to one of them things and you threw it in the trash. Anybody's ever been invited somewhere and you threw it in the trash? You know what caused you to do that? What we're going to talk about today. So we want to make sure that helps you, okay? So watch this. It says this, verse 21 of Matthew 5. You have heard that the ancients were told. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Listen to this careful. This is Jesus. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the courts. He said, so if you commit murder, now it's a serious offense, right? And then this is, how many know that murder is rampant in the world today? I mean, folks are killing folks for nothing just because they want to kill. It's absolutely crazy. And you take all the major cities around the world, let's just talk about the United States, major cities around the United States, and there's people being murdered for no reason every day, every night, just being murdered because folks feel like killing people. So we think, well, that was just something that was being dealt with now. But listen, Jesus is dealing with this a long time ago. This is before his death. This is preaching this message. And he says, you have heard in the ancients were told. He goes past his event now, the Sermon on the Mount, and he takes them all the way back. And he starts talking about this has been going on. You shall not commit murder. You know, the scripture, the commandment is thou shall not kill is what we used to hearing, but the true translation says, thou shalt not murder, is what it should say. So that's why Jesus makes this reference. He says, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the courts. So they go before the judiciary court and they get a penalty. Of course, the Old Testament penalties, if you kill, you're to be killed. That was plain and simple. Today is a lot different, right? If you kill, there's got to be a bunch of reasons that your brain told you to do that. So we'll try to fix it for you, and we'll let you out, and you kill again. And then again, then we'll say, well, okay, well, that ain't working. It's just crazy, right? But let's see what Jesus dealt with and how he dealt with it. This is what he, then he shifts something. Every time he shifts, I think it's important for us to understand. Why? Because the Son of God is preaching here. Remember who's the speaker. Then he says this, but. The conjunction here says but. Now he said, this is what you've heard, this is what you've been told, but I say to you. That's important. It's important because Jesus says, what I say to you. What I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the courts. Wow. Uh-oh. So has anybody guessed what we're going to talk about today? So that if you feel that little impression on your shoulder, that's not me. I could have come done that. But that's just the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to help you today. Every person in this room, there's no doubt in my mind, at some point in your life, you dealt with anger. And if you feel like there's been a reoccurrence, and maybe you won't feel it, but maybe somebody else who's close to you feels that it's a reoccurrence, either way, I want to show you in the Word of God that that doesn't have to happen. Doesn't have to. But we're going to work on that. Jesus said, I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the courts. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing. You ever been called that? Shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. So there's a guilty before the court or the Supreme Court. How many know that we have a Supreme Court? So if the lower courts cannot handle the matter, what happens? Then it's referred to the Supreme Court, right? And then and that after the Supreme Court, that's it. And so what he's saying here, he said, if you are angry with your brother, you're going to be guilty before the courts. And then he goes on and he says, and also, if someone says to his brother, you're good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fire of hell. Gehenna. That word hell is Gehenna there. So we're not talking about dying. And all through the King James Bible, if you have a King James, I've studied King James for 30 years. But King James does not help us with when we're dealing with the word hell. Because hell, they never tell you that when they use it, they're using it for several different words. They like shul, grave, Gehenna, they use them all as their equal, and they're not. Here is dealing with Gehenna. Here, he is very serious and important that we understand. He's talking about someone who's angry enough to take it past the several stages here that he's dealing with. And we want to make sure that we understand each stage and that we can deal with them. So we're going to look at this in six different steps on how to help us get through this. So I'll read it again to you. Let it sink in. Think about it. Say, man, you know, even me just bringing up this subject, maybe it was like, I wish I'd have stayed home. We'll all close our eyes. You can slip out quietly. But since we saw you already, we're going to know you're missing. Or you could just sit and say, help me, Lord, because I really want to be better. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the courts. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into a fiery hell. Wow. That's some strong words by Jesus. I mean, he's just preaching. He just got finished saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, he just got finished with the Beatitudes. Then he says, I'm trying to picture him. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And he gets, you know, he's talking about all this, talking about the commands, keeping the commands, those who will be least and great in the kingdom. On Sunday night, we covered that. And then he stops. He says, have you heard about this thing too called anger? He said, let's look at that. A couple things I want to talk, just bring out right off up front. Let me share this with you. After we strip away our anger, then we can finally put on love and self-control, which is trapped by anger. Without stripping out the root cause for anger, it is like putting a coat of paint on a dirty wall. It will peel off in no time. So, I mean, you can paint it. It'll look good when you first do it. And I think that's what's happening in the church world today. And that's why I got to see, I'm addressing the church world. That's what I'm addressing. And we can't address the world unless judgment begins in the house of God. How can we say to someone who's not born again, they need to quit being angry when those who are born again have not dealt with that? Right? We have no place to do that. So we have to deal with us today. We can talk about all the anger in the world and all the hatred in the world, and we know that it's full of it. But how can that ever change if we still have that same contention in the church? Without stripping off the root cause for anger, it's like putting a coat of paint on a dirty wall. It will peel off in no time. Has anybody ever witnessed that? First, strip off the dirt. Then you can lay the paint right on the wall and it will stick. Afterwards, real healing can come when we affirm our purpose of living to do God's will and to exert self-control to love one another. And that's all God's asking us to do. Now, to love one another, we have to exert self-control. And you can't exert self. In other words, it's not going to just overtake you. Self-control will not just come on you and you're going to have it. It's something that has to be pursued through the Word of God. And we want to look at that today. I think it's important. And we'll give you some scripture I believe is going to help you. But let's cover this and let's look at it. So how many want to clean the dirty wall? Let me think that's important. I think it is. If you don't, I don't care which product you're using. It appears, it all looks good. But it will tell on you, if you didn't prep right, it's going to tell on you later. And that's something that I think that we need to look at. So number one, face the real issues. Face the real issues. Because the moment you talk about anger, as Jesus addresses here, the first thing that we are built to do, This is the design of sinful man. The design of sinful, you don't have to be taught this. This is a natural thing that occurs in every human being because of the sin nature that's been passed on because one man sinned. It's been passed on to the entire human race after that. And by nature, we're not taught this. By nature, we naturally want to do this. Human nature wants to do this. And it's just something about it. But when you get saved, when you get Christ living inside of you, you take on a different nature. And you have to practice that. It has to be done day after day after day. And we'll cover more of that in a little bit. Facing the real issue, Galatians 5, 13 through 26. We want to look at that together. Galatians chapter 5, 13 through 26 says this. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. How should we serve one another? Through love. That's how we serve one another, through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So how much of the law is fulfilled in that statement? The whole law. Think about that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So how are we to walk? By the Spirit. Remember that. We walk by the Spirit. So We have to be assisted along in life. We have an assistant. At the time that Jesus was preaching, he was the assistant. He was alive. He was on the earth. He was with his disciples and those who sat to hear this message. So he was there assisting them. How many remember when Peter was angry? He got angry. He got angry at the soldier. The soldier come who was going to take Jesus. He put his hands out to snatch Jesus up. And what did he do? He got mad at him. He was angry with him. And how many know that he continued that anger? That anger didn't stop. He was so angry, he pulled a sword out and he cut the man's ear off. Jesus says, pick up the sword. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. He said, "This what you're trying to stop is to bring life to the whole world." And then he didn't stop there. He was angry so much at the little girl who was there, who kept the door. And she said, "You're a disciple. You're one of him." He says, "I'm not." And then he says it again. "You are. I've seen you with him." And he cursed. And see, it continued. It continued and continued. He was not. And that it was just built up in him. But I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So how are we to walk? By the Spirit. We have an assistant. The Spirit of the Lord, he's here to assist us and to correct us in the ways that we should go. Verse 17, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit. So everybody needs to remember that. This is not, you say, well, I don't, you know, I'm going through this. Nobody knows what I'm going through, really. What do you think? You're born on a different planet? Nobody knows that what you're going through? Do you know that everybody in the world is going through something? Don't set your situation above everybody else's so it can bring a justification of a behavior. Realize that a lot of people go through things. Listen, you ever wonder how somebody can go through something? There's some guy, let's just take two guys for example. It could be any random people, two random guys. One guy loses his job. He's down on his luck. Things are going bad for him. He goes home and he says, you know what? I'm going to rob a bank. That's how I'm going to fix my situation. And he does. He just goes, gets him a gun, walks in the bank and he robs the bank. That's how he figured out he was going to settle his issue because he ain't got no money. He ain't got no job. He's down. I need some money. So he goes rob the bank. The other guy, he loses his job. What he does, he starts praying and saying, well, you know what? And he calls his friends up and his family and they get together and they start praying. Both of them are in the same situation. But the guy that robs the bank, he gets caught and he gets arrested and he says, nobody knew what I was going through. You understand? You're not alone. Everybody's born in the same planet. There's a lot of issues. But how you handle it, what are you going to allow to happen in your life is going to be whether or not you're going to listen to the words of Jesus. And so he said, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit. That's exactly what happened. For the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. They oppose each other. So that you may not do the things that you please. So to do the right thing, you got to know it's going to be an opponent against doing right. How many of you know that? Always, when you're going to do the right thing, you're going to be opposed to. Doing the wrong thing, it just flows. There's nothing hard to it. But if you're going to do the right thing, there's going to be an opposition to it. But how many of you know you got to push through that? And this is what he says. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are. And he gives us the deeds of the flesh. Now I want to show you, I can't deal with all these subjects, but I want to show you, but right in the middle of all this is the one we're talking about today. Immorality. I mean, you know that's happening all over the world. Impurity. Sensuality. Idolatry. Sorcery. Enmities, strife, jealousies, outburst of anger, right in there. Disputes, dissensions, factions, all of these, all of them all together. And we're going to deal with the outburst of anger, envy, drunkenness, carousing. Because see, it's easy for us to, you know, we say, well, I'm not a drunk. But you got those outbursts. Which one's worse? You understand my point? In the day, we're not dealing with drunks. Today, we want to talk about outbursts of anger. Because that's the thing that is destroying a lot of people. Now, drinking will destroy a lot of people and all the rest of immorality and all that. But I want to show you that, and the reason I read that is right in the middle of all that stuff that people say, I don't do that, I don't do that. But these outbursts of anger is important, and Jesus, this is what he dealt with. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So how is there a possibility that you inherit the kingdom of God when the scripture just plainly says, will not? This is what people say. Well, the way I see it, I'm okay. Well, how many know it don't go by what we see it? How do we see it? That's why we have to refer back to scripture. We refer back to what Jesus says. The way I see it, I didn't do anything wrong. You ever heard statements like that? The way I see it. Well, you got to be careful how you see it, because the way you see it could ultimately separate you from living in the kingdom of God. So this is, that's very important to keep in mind. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness. Anybody need some of that? Gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So who those who are with Christ, if you're here today and you say, well, I'm living for Christ, then you've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so with that text in mind, I want you to think about these things. Think about what he's saying. Verse 25 and 26, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Wow. How many know what happens when you do verse 26? Let us not become boastful. What happens when you start being boastful? What happens if you got two people in the same room who want to be boastful? What happens? The outburst of anger starts. What about if they're challenging one another? Challenging one another. You see it all the time. It happens. You challenge one another, envying one another. Envy. How many know what envying one another is? To envy. It's to want what somebody else has, and then they want what you have. I mean, you can settle that. Just give each other what you got. It's over with. I mean, if somebody wants what you have and you want what they have, exchange. Then it settles the issue. There won't be a fight. But you don't really want it. You just don't want them to have it. It's called envy. Right? Because if you wanted it, the same price that you paid for what you bought that you now don't want, you could have got what they had. Are y'all here? Talking about what Jesus was dealing with. Now, a couple questions, and then we'll move forward in this. Can you admit to having a spirit of anger? Can you? Do you really want to live as God desires? Do you really want to live as God desires? Next question, do you want self-control? You know, because you can say, well, I don't have self-control. It's not because you can't have it. You know, people talk like I was, you know, he was born with it and I didn't get it. No, that's called looks. Maybe I need to come down here. Listen, do you want self-control? You can have it. Nobody was born with self-control. And you somehow you got the bottom of the self-control bucket and didn't have a couple of drops in it. You can have self-control. So if you see somebody who maintains self-control in a situation, how'd they get it? It wasn't because God dumped self-control on them and missed you. Somehow they got self-control. How'd they do it? And that's what we want to find out today. We want to look at what the Word says on it. What about this? Do you want to love one another? Do you want to love one another? What does that mean, to love one another? You know, you don't really have to have a whole lot of love one another going on in you. If both parties is doing exactly what each party wants them to do, it doesn't really push your love one another button. It just, that's something that just, because what they're doing pleases you, and what you're doing pleases them, so you love one another, don't even have to be working, and that works. But if that's not happening, what am I doing to love that person? Wow. So this is great questions. We must accept the fact that our anger, accept the fact of our anger. And that's one thing that you have to accept. So the moment I said I was talking about anger, you said, oh, I could have missed this service. If I knew you were talking about anger, because I'm good. We must accept the fact of our anger. Ask those around you if they sense a spirit of anger in you. Since you can't ask yourself, because that last time you asked yourself, yourself said, I'm good. So what about those around you? Do they sense a spirit of anger? Acknowledgement is the first step of overcoming anger. Acknowledgement is the first step to overcoming anger. Why? Our pride does not make it easy to say that we are wrong in our actions, words, and judgments. That's not easy. Our pride is the thing that really will come against us. So number two, deal with your anger. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. James chapter 1. Verse 19 and 20. So number two, we deal with our anger. Let's see what it says. James 19, chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear. This is what he says. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So how can I achieve the righteousness of God? What's one of the things I got to eliminate? The anger of man. Now, he calls it the anger of man here. Now, something that's interesting here that he identifies it like that. Because this anger that wells up inside of us is not the anger of God. It's the anger of man. It's a product of a sinful nature. That's exactly what it is. It's a product of a sinful nature. Now, that sinful nature can be brought out in people more so than the others based on situation, circumstance, stuff that folks have been through. It's absolutely what happens in the lives of people. And so this is what we have to take note in, because he says this to my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear. So if you'll hear the word of God, what Jesus said, especially when he says this to the crowd that's there, and he's dealing with this situation, be quick to hear, slow to speak and slow to anger. So if you're in a position where you see this happening in your life, where you get very angry really fast, we have to practice to work on that. And we can. I'll show you in just a moment what the word says. Unresolved anger is always bad. Not sometimes, always. We must not tolerate it. When I'm dealing with me, I can't tolerate unresolved anger. Say, well, because remember, it's letting somebody else bear the brunt of my anger is in no matter what I do or say, and I can say, well, I'm going to do it when I want, it's still got to be dealt with for me. I have to look at it. I have to. So we must not tolerate. I can. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to tolerate your anger. Well, it's still not going to help you, even though they leave. You say, well, good thing they left because I was getting mad. Well, you might have left and you calm your madness down, but you're still angry on the inside. You can't tolerate that. You got to say, I cannot act or behave that way. We must acknowledge that man's anger will not accomplish God's work. Let me understand that. We must acknowledge that man's anger will not accomplish God's work. We're going to be hindered at every level that we try to accomplish. Whatever it is we try to accomplish, we're going to be hindered at every level. So how many want to accomplish God's work? How many want to perform the will of God in your life and do what God wants you to do? Well, that can only happen if you and I will embrace what the Word of God is saying here. Number three, die to self and live by Christ. And this is so important. This is a key verse to helping us with our anger. Die to self and live by Christ. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. That's a very powerful statement there. And you ever wondered about that? Have you really felt that crucifixion with Christ? Or you, do you feel like that's happened? Or did you just associate with something that makes you feel good? Because there's a big difference between associating with anything. Let's take this church for example. Just because you associate with this church doesn't mean you've been crucified with Christ. You understand that? All this is a place that we have a name. We come together on Sunday. We gather together on midweek. But associating with it does not satisfy what God needs, his satisfaction, on what it takes in order for you to have a strong relationship with the Father. How do you have that? Through the Son, by associating with what he's done for you. He was crucified for me. And Paul said it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. With Christ. Is that something that you've settled on? Is that something that's become real to you as an individual? Okay. Once that happens, you now have the tools necessary to deal with any issue. Today we're just talking about anger. But you can deal with any issue. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. How is that possible? How can Christ be at the right hand of the Father and live in you at the same time? By the Spirit. Remember, we learned that on Thursday. By the Spirit. So Christ is in me by Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul's referring to. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. What life is he living? Not talking about living in the Spirit. He said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's how I get through every day that I have in front of me now. I live by faith in the Son of God. That's important. Who loved me and gave himself up for me. When it says he gave himself up for us, you have to understand he died for us. He gave up living the life that he was given from the time he was born. When Jesus came into existence, that word is not conceived. In the translation it says, the thing that has been conceived in you. Then that's a bad translation. Didn't say that in the original text. In the Greek, it says the thing that's been begotten in you, that had its beginning in you. The word is Genesis. The thing that has its beginning in you, that begun, its beginning, its start in you, is by Holy Spirit. Because if you use the word conceived, it messes with people's minds. Somehow that this was some intercourse took place. I mean, you know, there was no intercourse for Jesus to be brought into the world. It was a miracle by Holy Spirit, begotten, the thing that's been begotten in you. And this is important. So when that happened, when that took place, when that begetting took place, and we read this scripture, you got to understand, he who was begotten, who came into existence, gave up living for the whole world. That's why he died. He gave up. And that's what, this is so important. So he had a beginning and he died for the world. So he who loved me gave himself up for me. That's what it talks about there. And that's important for us to understand. Listen to this. I have died to myself. I now live for Christ. I have died to myself. I now live for Christ. I'm going to make a statement here in just a little bit. I believe it'll help you. This is it. An open and deliberate decision to not live according to your old life and consciously to allow Christ to live out his life in you is a special and necessary part of deliverance from anger. When this is done, you will open yourself to Christ's full work in your life. How many want the full work of Christ happening in your life? And this is something that you have to do. Listen, it's very important that we embrace. When this is done, Christ is full work. How many know that he had a full work? It's not, and you see this happen, and people blame it on, that's just not me. Well, what else? What are you talking? When we make statements like that, do we really realize what we're saying? Well, I'm not that kind of person. Well, what kind of person are you? So the kind you are is different from the kind that was. Well, I don't get that. And when we say those things and we don't realize that we separate ourselves from one group of people and become a different group of people, that somehow I can behave how I want because I'm not in the group that of those who behave. That's just not me. And we use all those statements, and that they're absolutely not scripturally and biblically sound statements that we should use, because what it does, it produces an attitude that the behavior we're wrestling with is allowed because I'm in a separate group. And that's not how it works. We're crucified with Christ. It's a different life that we live now. And we have to follow those the things that he's prescribed to us. There's two aspects to dying to self. Number one, there is the initial dedication period, which is like starting anew. How many's ever had that experience in here? If you hadn't, you're not born again. It's as simple as that. But you can be. This is not an elimination. This is not exclusion, right? You can be. But there's two aspects of dying to self. If the first one, there is the initial dedication. You come to Christ, dedicate the dedication period, which is like starting anew. It's a brand new start. But here's the second part, that is where we're missing so much. There's also a regular daily dying to self. Daily dying. If there's a daily dying that happens to self, I can tell you our walk with God is going to be a lot smoother. Our relationship with others is going to be smoother. And that's why we get crossways with people. Anybody know what crossways means? Everybody, you ought to see your faces sometimes. I ask a question and everybody just, you ever been crossways with people? It's okay. You know, it doesn't make a difference if everybody knows. God knows. You've been crossways with somebody. You. It's just the way it is. I've been mad at them. I'm angry with them. You might have come here crossways with somebody. And I start talking about anger, you go, uh-oh. Maybe it just happens periodically, once a week, twice a week, once a month. And for no apparent reason, all of a sudden, wow, there it is. That's okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you're in a bad category. Listen, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. The whole bunch of us. We've all sinned. I'm just trying to help you and I today figure out that we don't have to let the enemy beat us down because we have anger issues and we have outbursts when we can get past that. Because let me tell you, if you have an outburst and you're trying to win the loss, the ones watching you, you just blew it. There goes your chance. And that's something we better protect. Amen? There's also a regular daily dying of self, a daily morning prayer where we commit ourselves to the Lord. You ought to get in that practice and behavior. How many get up in the morning when you slide off to the side of the bed? On our bed, we have a railing at the bottom, so my feet get on the railing, and I got to actually step down. So I get on the railing, I sit there for, don't take hours. I went to bed in a relationship, I'm just going to get up and renew that relationship. I'm going to tell the Lord, say, Father, I just thank you for a great day today. I thank you for protecting me and watching over me. Give me another day, and you're good to me. And I want to just tell you, you're amazing, and I love you. And I want to have good encounters today. I want to do whatever it is you want me to do. I want to be the person you want me to be. And if you just do that daily renewal every day, let me tell you, it goes a long way. But you miss that. Miss that for a week straight and see what happens. You're probably going to have one of them outbursts. You know why? Because it's rooted there. We can uproot. How many want to get uprooted? You may ask, can we do it? Well, let's talk about that. Number four, break the stronghold of anger, because it is a stronghold. Anger is a stronghold. You don't go around talking about, I'm just that kind of person, you know, somebody mess with me. That's not you. You're not that type of person. You just got a stronghold. You understand? And we got to deal with that. If I got a stronghold, I have to deal with that stronghold. And we want to look at that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 7. Let's see what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powered by the destruction of fortresses. Verse 5, we are destroying speculations. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. If it's raised up against the knowledge of God, it's got to be destroyed. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. And it's so important. What a true statement. Verse 7. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ's, belongs to Christ, let him consider this again himself, that just as he is Christ's, so also are we. And this is important. Very important. So when you break in strongholds of anger, understand this. That's exactly what it is. It's a stronghold. It's a remnant of a lifelong living of sin and in the world. So we have to break those things. So if you come to, remember the time that you came to Christ? If you're here today and you come to, you remember that, you can go back to a certain day in your life. Where you felt the call of God, the drawing power of God, and you went down to an altar, wherever it was in your house, in your car, on your job, wherever that might have been, and you had this encounter with God, and you accepted Him for the first time in your life. Well, when you did that, that was the initial breakthrough, but there has to be a daily occurrence of that as these things start to pull back on you. And that's what he's talking about here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And the King James says, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. I mean, no, strongholds will do everything they can to do exactly what they are called, to be a stronghold in your life, to get a footing. And so that's as far as you can go in your relationship. You can go no further. It's like, how many's ever had a pet? A dog, maybe you had a dog, and you had a rope on them. You put a leash on them, a collar, and you tied the rope, and they can only go so far. That was it. Now, I don't care how much the dog wanted to go somewhere else, you set the limit by the length of the rope. That was the limit. How many of you know that our past limits us a lot of times? Because we won't let, listen, to break the stronghold, now the stronghold is the rope. It can only let the dog go so far, that's it. No matter, you can throw the ball 10 feet further than the rope will go, and the dog wants the ball. I mean, it's just jumping and flipping, but it can't go no further because you set the stronghold. But what happens if you go there and cut the rope? The dog can get the ball. And that's what we've done. We've set limits in our life by allowing strongholds. Why? How many's ever heard this statement? I'd like to do it, but I'm tied down. You ever heard this statement? What are you tied to? Not literally, right? Because if you are, we're glad they turned you loose today to get here. But we say those statements, we're tied down, and then we start believing that. We start thinking that way. We start setting limits. We can't go no further. I'd like to, but I'm tied down. I'd like to, but, you know, and this is what we do. We're setting limits, and Jesus is talking about, he's saying, listen, we don't have to do that. The limitations, the indicators are the outbursts. The outbursts, that's the indicator, lets me know I have a limit. They don't know my limit. Are you here? Maybe I'm making these statements and you never heard any of them before. Maybe I'm the only one heard them. They better not say that no more, because, whew. See? They just don't know my limit. It's about up. What do? We got to break those strongholds. How many would like to be able to endure more? How many would like to be able to say, I don't have to allow that? And this is what he wants us to understand. So do we see these verses of scripture? They're important for us. Listen to what it said. May God destroy every last lie of mine. May God destroy every last lie of mine. A stronghold is some hidden sin from our lives that we have given up hope on overcoming. That's a stronghold. So we know it. We've identified it, but we've given up any hope that we can overcome it. That's a stronghold. I've tried to overcome this, and I can't. That you just set a stronghold in your life. That's a stronghold because you said you can't. You said you've tried and it don't work. For me, it don't work. You know, some people, they just get right over this. For some people, it's fine in their lives. But for me, it's not working. That's a stronghold. A stronghold is something, some hidden sin from our lives that we have given up hope of overcoming. We probably had tried to overcome anger in the past, failure brings with it a disheartening and final cover-up of our sin. And that's what happens because we failed at it. You said, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be angry no more. And you might have seen hurt. You might have seen pain on the person that you was angry with. And then you leave and you say, I don't want to be angry ever again. And then the next day you do it again. And the next day you do it again. And the next day you do it again. And what's going to happen is this is what people do. They say, well, I just can't help it. I'm just an angry person. And then, so you've set yourself up to have those behaviors, to have that behavior for sure, and live with it. That's a stronghold. How many know whom the Son has set free is free indeed? You don't have to have a stronghold. I don't have to have a stronghold. And listen, just because we're dealing with what Jesus dealt with the anger issue, this can go for any stronghold in your life. We don't have to have those. We can be free from those things. But we can't keep saying to ourselves, we can't, when we know that the Word of God can cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Not just some of it, all of it. And that is an unrighteous behavior, to be angry, to have an outburst of anger, and to allow that to happen is not becoming those who are walking in righteousness. If you've ever said any of these statements, that might be an issue. He deserves it. I was so hurt by him. I need to get back. I can't help it. I was always that way. No wonder you kicked your mama in the womb. Pow! You were always that way. We're going to set a section for the always that way crowd. We'll be sure to pet you on the way in and on the way out. My parents were that way. Really? Go ahead and keep blaming your mom and dad. What about you growing up now? It's not too bad. Who you measuring yourself by? See, if you measure yourself by somebody, that's why you would say that. Because you're going to take the worst and be right underneath them and say, it's not too bad. I'm sure not like them. I'm like something, but not like them. My anger is better than before. You ever said any of these? Did you ever say, maybe you said that this morning, one of these this morning. Oh, boy. And you just so happened to be here. It just kind of worked out. Proverbs 14:29 Look at what it says. Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Think about that. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. That's exactly what's going to happen. You ever had somebody who told you something that somebody did, and you said, if they'd have did that to me, and you do that because you're so upset that they did something to somebody who would have never done them anything back. So you're saying as a defender, but no matter what, you're defending the weak. Still, you never know unless you're in that spot. And how you're going to react is going to be determined on how well you crucified yourself on a daily basis. That's exactly what's going to happen. In 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, it says, love is patient. Wow. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not. That's wow. Because let me tell you what gets us going is we start counting what's been done. Once we count what's been done to us, and I'm sure everybody in here can give their own story of something's been done wrong to them. The moment you count what's been wrong, you've been wrong, it's going to actually be used to bring the stronghold that's been there all the time to the surface. And there it goes again. But we're trying to learn here to change that. So what's some of the things you have to do? Number five, replace anger with acts of kindness. With acts of kindness. Replace anger with acts of kindness. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. So we've got to get rid of all that stuff. So it's put it away. Verse 32. And it says this, be kind to one another. You know, it's just hard to be kind to them. Hard to be kind to them. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving each other just as God in Christ also forgave you. You know, that helps with forgiving others. The very first thing that helps on forgiving others is remember that we've been forgiven. If you just put that right in front, right off the bat, just remember, wow, okay. Now, if I don't want to forgive, that means I got to add every transgression, iniquity I've ever done back on. And then how do I like that? Remember what Jesus said? The disciples are there and says, well, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's coming up, you know, some of the words of Jesus. And he says, well, you pray like this, our Father. Who's familiar with that passage? Who art in heaven? Hallowed be thy name. Anybody's ever heard that before? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You ever heard that? Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt or trespass as we forgive others. See the condition? Forgive us as we forgive others. It's a little part right there that we need to emphasize, right? Forgive us as we forgive. So if I walk in unforgiveness, what is that going to lead to? An outburst of anger. I guarantee it. It's going to happen. Because you might be over. Well, I'm over. I'm over it now. I'm over it now. And then you see them a month later and it all comes back. Oh, there it is again. It's just something about it. You weren't over it. You say it, but you weren't. And so this is how you practice these things. Amen? Anger must go. But I will replace it with the fruits of love. Anger goes, and I will replace it. How many want to replace it with the fruits of love? Well, you can. Very important. And we see that in the scripture, with the fruits of the Spirit. Number six, the last one, fully deal with each day's anger. Each day. So fully deal with each day's anger. Ephesians 4:26 says this, be angry, and yet do not sin. The favorite part of this verse for everybody is be angry. It said, the Bible said, the Bible said. I know my Bible. The Bible said, be angry. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm being a following the word. You know how many people use that? Be angry. There it is. And yet, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. What does that mean? Listen, don't show your hand. I know everybody's quick to raise their hand here. So I'm going to give you, just tell you, don't. But how many's ever went to bed angry? We ain't talking. You know, when I meddle, I like to come way down here so everybody can see me. But you've been angry and went to bed, and you know, you go to bed angry, wake up angry at each other. How many know that you can't use that verse, the Bible said, to be angry? You can't use that because you didn't finish it. You can't, you know, how many know Jesus was angry and sinned not? Oh, that tells me something. He was angry and sinned not. So there is such a thing as a righteous anger. Righteous anger. How many's ever been, let me see if you've had this. Maybe you don't even know you've had this righteous anger. How many's ever seen a news clipping or a news on the TV where it shows this predator preying on children, and you saw it, and something just rose up in you, right? That's the righteous anger. And then you might have said, well, if I could catch him, you know, I'd just tear him apart. And then by the nighttime, you're going to have to say, well, Lord, you understand my point? You know, I know it's not, it just, so when I saw it, it just welled up in me. But you got to deal with that. You could let it go past it. Because the Bible says Jesus was angry, says it, and sinned not. He didn't let it go to the part where it broke the commands of God. And that's what we have to be careful in. So what I'm talking about is not for everybody to be pansy pants and passive with all the corruption in the world. And we just sit around and we suck the proverbial Christian thumb. And we just sit around. Listen, there's things that you have to stand up against. But you cannot go to, if you take that thing to bed where it balls on the inside of you, you've broken, you went past what he's allowed. There's an allowance, but you can't go past that allowance. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You got to settle those issues. Now, you might not be able to settle it with the person because that might be out of your means to be able to do, but you can settle it with you. You can say, God, I'm not going to take this to bed. I thank you for giving me relief over this, and I don't want to have these feelings or anything like that. I want to have a rest in you. If you'll do that, you'll stay within the parameters of what God allows in the scripture. And this is the things that we look at time and time again, and we wonder, you know, why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Why I feel so separated? Why I feel disconnected from God? Because if we don't deal with this, that's what happens. We won't feel that liberty. How many's ever been real close to somebody, and then you got sideways, and then you had to go visit or something after? And you say this statement, you might have said, it just don't feel the same. You ever had that happen? You know that's funny thing about today? All throughout the service, when I made statements for this and that, there was this sense that I might be in the wrong service. Because there's surely none of these things have ever happened to anybody here. You ever made that statement? It just don't feel the same way. You know why? There was the connection you once had got severed. And now you're there, but it's not this, that flow. There's not that connection there. Well, you know those things can be repaired? Do you know that? They can be. They can be repaired. But you got to quit saying it'll never happen. You got to quit saying it'll never work, because it can. It can work. And God wants to work it out for all of us. And we see this in the scripture time and time again, that it gives us this time to be encouraged. Make sure before I go to bed, this is what I say, make sure before I go to bed, I deal with my anger before I go to bed. How many want to start practicing that? How many know that's important? How many know that the enemy don't want you to practice this? Because what it does, it produces sound relationship. It produces relationships that'll cause people to come to Christ. If you do this, that's what it produces, and it's important that we understand that. Unresolved anger turns into wrath. We have a command from the Lord to heighten the importance of settling quarrels before we sleep. Settle those things. Because I'm going to tell you, that's all it does is produce a bad relationship. We don't want that. How many want to practice these things? So verse 23 and 24 goes along with this, and we'll just read the verses, and then we'll come to a close. Therefore, if you're presenting your offerings to the altar, this is Jesus, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. That's what he said. So you can't give your way out of fixing a quarrel or discontention. You can't say, well, I'm just going to give. And you can't give your way out of that. He says, if you have an offering, leave it there, go and fix it, and then come back and present the offering. Because you think God could be bought and say, oh, well, yeah, since you're giving that, you're good. That's not how it works with God. And he wouldn't let us do that. He's not going to teach us to behave that way. Verse 25, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and be thrown into the prison. Verse 26, truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. So this is important. This is important to settle the issues, to look, make sure that these things are done. This is Jesus' words. He says, look, if we behave this way and we settle these issues, everything's going to work out. You'll get past the contention that you thought would just never work. You'll get past it. So next week, let me give you just a warning about next week, because you might want to screen this. And this is what we'll be talking about. Overcoming sexual sins and lust. That's because that's the thing that Jesus talks about next. And he deals with those things. So we'll talk about that. And I think it's going to be important. Remember, everything Jesus says is important. You can't just pick and choose. Well, I don't want to listen to that. I want the whole words of Jesus to become real to me. And I tell you what, if I live by them, it's going to change everything about me. So I hope today that you've gotten some understanding of what Jesus meant when he was talking about this anger issue. Paul went on to elaborate on it. James went on to elaborate on these things. They dealt with these issues on a regular basis. And we see throughout the scripture that this is important. So I'm going to ask you a question today before we leave, before we close. And the question is somewhat rhetorical, right? Have you ever been angry? And we know that answer, right? We know what the answer is. I have. Have you ever been angry? Do you think that you've dealt with it fully, completely? Or is there a stronghold there? Do you ever find yourself getting angry over the same thing all the time? The same thing. Well, God wants us to be free from that. We don't have to be. We don't have to be tied down by a stronghold of something that we can be free from. And we're going to ask the Lord when we pray that that'll be dealt with today. I'm going to ask you. We could pray the prayer, but it's up to you to say, you know, I'm really going to embrace this. I'm going to accept this, and I want to do what it is God wants me to do. I want to do what it is that God expects of me as dealing with this, and he can help you. Amen? Let's stand together. We're going to pray, and as